A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Listen for God's word. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them and hurried on their foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw the great crowd and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place. The hour is now very late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and 2 fish. Then Jesus ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. And he gave it to them, his disciples, to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I saw a shirt this week that had a compass on it. At the top, there was an N for north. At the bottom, an S for south. A W on the left side of the shirt for west. And on the right side of the shirt, where you would expect to find an E, there was the word lake. A month ago, I would not have understood this shirt at all. This is Chicago humor. And for those of you watching online or not from these parts, apparently Lake Michigan is always east. And this is how we orient ourselves: north, south, west, and lake. When I lived in Oxford, I said to a friend, I was going down to London for a job interview. And my British friend informed me that one never goes down to London. London is always up. It's easy to be disoriented in new places and spaces. And I know because much of my last 2 weeks has been a case of physical disorientation. As people give me instructions with strange names and places, they say, "Let's meet at the Loggia," or "You'll find me at Gratz," or "Head to Bumpus." And I just smile and hope someone will show me the way. I think about the experience of disorientation for those who are new to the church, specifically those who are new to Christian faith. It's not just when do you sit versus when do you stand and when, what do you say and when do you say it. It's also how are you to be oriented to the Christian beliefs. When you hear a story like the one we just heard about Jesus taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and turning those meager offerings into enough food for 5,000 people, how do you orient yourself to a story like that? How do you orient yourself to the person of Jesus with his ancient customs and his non-traditional teachings and his miraculous acts? If you grew up hearing the stories of Jesus in Sunday school, then this story might wash over you as just another display of the power of Jesus. But if you heard the story for the first time today, you might have follow-up questions. We all should have follow-up questions. How did he do it? Why did he do it? What does it mean that he did it? Why did he have the disciples go and hunt for things instead of just making the food appear? And what did they do with the leftovers? When confronted with these stories, we can be disoriented as we contemplate the person of Jesus and as we contemplate the existence of and relationship to our Creator. Before the arrival of Jesus, people needed God in order to give them direction, someone to show them the way to God and how to be oriented in the world, and Jesus was the answer. Jesus arrived and people could fix their eyes upon him as the way and the truth and the life. He reoriented the world. There are a whole lot of people who feel disoriented right now. Disoriented by life and its ups and downs. Disoriented by the news and how they feel things are going. Disoriented by the pace of change, disoriented by their lack of connection with others, disoriented by not feeling rooted and grounded in lives of faith and meaning, disoriented by health challenges, financial struggles, and new stages of life. Fortune magazine last year had an article titled, "Bible sales soar as anxieties spike." It starts, "While the book industry as a whole is flat so far this year, sales of Bibles are red hot." The article said that booksellers say demand is coming from both spiritually curious people and people who already own one or more Bibles and are hoping to expand their collections. Walker Hayes, a country singer that I like, has a new song titled "Bible Sales Are Up." And the refrain goes, "Bible sales are up. People are searching. Lord, I bet your ears are burning. People are turning his pages, tired for looking for hope in hopeless places. Guess the good news at rock bottom is Bible sales are up." Bible sales are up. That's interesting. Seasons of anxiety do force people to ask big questions, to try to find meaning in the midst of the chaos. It's true for us today, and it was true for the people in the time of Jesus. When Jesus was in the midst of the tired disciples and the hungry crowds, he performed an act of reorientation. Matthew says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves. Jesus looked up to heaven, reminding the people there where the blessings were coming from. And Jesus looked up to heaven to keep himself connected to God in the midst of the commotion around him. Jesus was pointing to God. In the food he provided, in the community he shaped, in the prayers he said, in the love he expressed, all pointing towards God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. A retired Presbyterian minister, whom I admire, told me the story, sort of a confessional, about when they're facing a very difficult decision or tough situation, that they go to bed and they usually wake up very quickly, and then they spend several hours doing what he describes as his favorite pastime, which is called stewing. And he stews. And he describes stewing as a combination of thinking and planning and worrying unproductively. And after a period of stewing, he would remember to pray. He would remember to be oriented towards God, and that was the only thing that was actually productive in the middle of the night. His humble confession made me feel better about the pace of reorientation, because sometimes it can take time and missteps and wrong turns to find our way to God's path and to seeking God's wisdom. And that's why the church has an important role to play. People are wandering around looking for direction, and the church can help by clearly telling the stories of Jesus, and by welcoming the follow-up questions about faith, and by modeling love and forgiveness of hope in our midst, and of course, by providing for the needs of God's people, both spiritual and physical, because all of these things point to God. I don't know if this story is lore, but it was said that Billy Graham entered a town one day and asked a young boy for directions to the post office. So the boy told him. Billy Graham said, "Thank you, and if you come to the Baptist church tonight, I'll tell you the way to get to heaven." And the boy said, "No thanks, you don't even know your way to the post office." I don't know if the story is true or not, but I think the point about being good tour guides is a worthy one. If you are new to the faith, if you are new to the church, you really do hope that someone is going to be there and help show you the way. And if you've been around the faith for a long time, then you hope that you might be able to give someone directions when asked. How would you feel if someone asked you about Jesus? If they asked you if you really believed in the miracles, if they asked you if you believed in God, or if they asked you about heaven and salvation, would you feel honored to be entrusted with the questions, or uncomfortable and looking for an exit? Jesus included the disciples in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and I am certain that was intentional. Jesus wanted them to be part of it. Jesus wanted them to know how to take care of people, how to share the faith with others. Jesus wanted them to know that they could use what they had, their own meager offerings, and it would be enough to orient people towards God. As we welcome new members into the church today, we welcome them into the shared ministry of being tour guides. For each of us in our various places where we work and live and study and spend our days has a role to play in helping others find their way. And some of us will use words to do so, and some of us will use deeds to do so, and all of us will use heart to do so. There are only two miracle stories in all of the four Gospels: the feeding of the 5,000 and the resurrection of Jesus. The four Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all tell the story of the hungry people being fed by Jesus and his disciples. All four Gospel writers include the details of the remarkable number of people who were fed by Jesus and his disciples. All four gospel writers tell the story of those who were fed and sustained and saved on that day. 5,000 hungry people on the green grass by the lakeside. Can you imagine how many times those people told the story about what happened that day? How many times they told the story about how Jesus lifted his head to the heavens? Or tell the story about how the food just never ran out? Or tell the story about how they felt the presence of the Holy Spirit? Those 5,000 people would spend the rest of their lives telling the story of that day, telling the good news of Jesus Christ. They were strangers, but he welcomed them. They were hungry, and he fed them. They were lost, and he showed them the way. These stories are bread for the journey, and bread is meant to be shared. That is the good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.